Praise our live stream listeners. Let's see what the Lord is going to say tonight. The angel of the Lord is going to reveal and unveil unto us tonight. Last night was awesome. It really was. I really been turning over and just thinking about it. So much was given, the increase. I'm really happy. I am that you should feel good about yourself, but I know you don't. Because every time we come, something else is up. Something else. Because you're not looking at it right. The best way to explain it is, look how many people never get to the place to see themselves the way you are seeing yourself. And look how many people die and never see it on this side. Which meant that there's a measure of the glory of God they never walked in on this side. You really got to look at that and to hear the wisdom of God that's being unveiled at this time. You really got to see that. And really, after a while, you get to the place where you just know He loves you. I don't know if you were there yet. You got to tell me. I know what happens when you get there. When you just know He loves you, you don't put up a defense no more. You don't try to look good no more. You don't try to do any of that anymore because He knows. And for the first time, you get to the place where He knows. And being members of the body, that's how you feel. You know He loves you, and that's just it. But when we seek the love from someone else, you won't tell certain things because you think they'll stop loving you. Now, you know that's the world, right? You know, I don't know if I tell you that, I don't know if you're going to keep loving me. So I can't tell you that. Well, when you come to the Lord, you find out, you can tell Him everything and He doesn't change.
That's right.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you start seeing love different. You start thinking different. And then people become secondary. People ain't primary no more. They become secondary. The Lord becomes primary because He's the one. Coming to church is about the saving of my soul. It ain't about flesh. That has to be established in the church. Coming to church is not about the flesh. It's not about exalting the flesh. It's about the journey of the soul in which we are all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. One man, one woman. And whatever branch you came through, that's the iniquity you're going to manifest.
Yes.
And that's what everybody got to come to conclusion. But as a whole, the seven churches reveal the iniquity in all the seven churches in the Revelation. So you got to understand that. So I want you to feel good about that. I want you to feel good that the Lord has loved us enough to bring us into this place that we might know the truth and understand the journey and the impartation of the faith. I want you to understand that. And I want you to understand that you'll get into the place where you're seeing how much the Lord has forgiven you, which means you should what? You should forgive one another. For the first time, that's why we don't love much. Because we don't see how much He loved us. He can say it, but we don't see it until our conscience bears witness and we see something in us that makes us really say, I'm wretched. Because you know, when it was revealed, we just said it because it was written. Before it's over, you're going to say it because you know it. That's going to be a big difference. And then you're going to deal with everybody else totally different because you're going to see that he that is forgiven much, loving much. So the reason people struggle loving is because they really don't know how much they've been forgiven. Even though they say it, they don't know it. You got to actually know how much you've been forgiven. You can't read it and know it. Your conscience got to bear witness to you exactly how much you've been forgiven. And when you find out, you're going to go beyond your body. You're going to go beyond the iniquity or the sin that you did in your body. That's just your lifespan in the vessel. But when you really understand the iniquity beyond your vessel, and the sin and the death that came to your soul beyond your vessel, then you start looking at things altogether different. You look at it altogether different at that point. But I just wanted to say that. But if you have any questions or things you want to put on the floor, feel free to do so.
After last night, I was thinking about discernment. And my question is, why do discernment matter? Why do it matter so much?
I think it's... Did the woman have to discern in the garden? In the garden, when God made her, did she have to discern? Did she? I agree, she didn't. All she had to do was what? Hear him and not usurp authority. Right? Whoa. Wow. Wait, let's say what we just said one more time. Hold it, let's look at this one more time. They didn't need discernment in the garden. All they had to do was what? Hear. Wait, they didn't need discernment in the garden. All they had to do was... How did she get discernment? Because she said what? What did she say? You need a mic, so, because I want the live stream listeners to hear.
It was a tree to be desired to make one wise.
Say it again.
It was a tree to be desired.
And where is this desire emanating from?
The serpent.
And where is it going to touch her? Where is it going to enter her? Yeah, you can see it. So just
the heart.
Are you hearing that, live stream listeners? So... Oh, you telling me all they had to do was what?
Here.
Then who is going to create this discernment?
Serpent.
Wait a minute, you really got to hear what you're saying, because the Lord is about to unveil something that's breathtaking. Prior to them messing with that serpent, they didn't need it. All they had to do was
here.
So, this discernment that gets in her is coming from where?
The serpent.
Are you sure? Wait a minute, are you really sure? Because I'm about to ask you something that's real powerful here. Do you mean they came out of the garden with whose discernment? Wait a minute. The Lord stopped me a few minutes ago. You really got to hear this. We spend a lifetime with whose discernment?
The serpent.
You mean everything I discern is coming from who?
The serpent.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything you discern comes from who?
The serpent.
You mean my senses that I'm to exercise to discern both?
Good.
is the conclusion of this discernment? What conclusion am I supposed to come to? The more I discern and exercise my senses to discern, exercise my senses to discern, exercise my senses to discern both good and evil, what is the conclusion that I'm supposed to come to?
That my discernment is coming from the serpent.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that all your discernment, all of it, sickle, all of our discernment came from where?
The serpent.
Because when God made them, did he give them discernment?
They didn't need it.
They did, all they had to do was what?
Here.
I wait a minute. I've never understood anything like this. So when God makes us, do you need discernment?
No.
What do you need to be? When God makes you, what are you going to do by nature?
Here.
Wait a minute. He that hath an ear, let him
hear.
No, let him discern.
Hear.
So what conclusion am I to come to concerning my discernment?
I don't hear.
And what should I say about my discernment?
That it's coming from the serpent.
Have we come to the conclusion? Have you examined and exercised your senses to realize that everything come through your senses came from where?
The serpent.
Do you believe that? And we're supposed to do what? God made us to do what? Hear. But we hear from our senses. And who created? Who gave us that discernment?
The serpent.
And as long as you exercise your senses with the knowledge of the serpent, your discernment is always going to be what? Is it good and evil? So you're going to have an eye problem, which is a third of the god of this world, lust. You're going to have an ear problem. You're not going to be able to hear. What you're hearing is always going to be what? Good and evil. Your appetite is always going to swing. Whatever you touch, you'll like and dislike. Whatever you feel, you'll love and hate. And we don't come to the conclusion that our senses have constantly been exercised by who? Is he not exercising her senses in that garden? He's creating senses in her. He's making her sensual. Oh God, oh my Lord Jesus. Church, are you hearing me? This is the first time that God's man and woman became sensual. If you are sensual, who are you listening to? Let me hear you. What are you? let me hear, because I'm taken by this myself. I'm taken in 10 minutes here. He said that and stopped me in my tracks. What are you feeling about this?
Okay, I have a question. So when we're praying for discernment, is that asking for good and evil knowledge, and how do we relate that to consciousness?
The first thing I want you to do is hear what is said right now. I want you to hear nothing but what I'm saying. Nothing but what I'm saying. Don't let nothing mingle with what I'm saying. I want you to purely hear it, because it's going to do something for you. Purely hear what we're saying, and let's see if a question remains after that. Yes.
Let me know if this is mingling, but last night when Sister Micaiah put the example on the floor of when she talks to people or she interacts with people, she could feel their intent despite what their feet were doing. And then sometimes it would make her shy away, and I might be using different words. For the first time last night, I understood, because that happens to me, that happened to me as well. And for a season, it happened so much, I almost hated it. And I was like, why would the Lord allow me to see this if it made me defend myself or be evil? And then when she said it, it was almost like the first time I knew that that wasn't the Lord. And so it felt like, because I could see something that wasn't on the surface, it's the Lord, but it wasn't. It's the discernment of the God of this world.
Yes, that is excellent. What conclusion should we walk out of here today after what we've heard? What would be the conclusion of what we've just talked about? What would be the conclusion you should walk out of this door, out of this room today walking in? What should you know?
That discernment isn't ours, it's the serpent's.
Say it again.
Discernment isn't ours, it's the serpent's.
And what is your posture if you believe it?
To hear it.
Expand it. Pepper.
To hear the Lord.
And to do that, what does she have to do?
Be still.
More.
Be more in the Word. Be more in the Word.
More. Make me know you know what you're saying.
I need to be active in the Word. I need to be present.
Stay with what we've talked about on the floor. What we've talked about on the floor. Use what we've talked about, and you're going to really see it. Use what we've just been talking about. Use it.
If I have to discern, then I know that it's the God of this world.
Yes.
But if I'm still and I know, then it is. I don't have to discern because I already know what is.
So when the enemy talks to you to make you discern, what is your posture going to be?
I yield to what he's trying to make me discern.
For the first time, you will never have confidence in the flesh. If you do that, you will never have confidence in the flesh if you do it.
So there's no such thing as discernment?
Now you are beginning to hear. Say that again.
There's no such thing as discernment.
Is that a one?
There's no such thing as discernment.
Now, when we started, when God made them, did he give them discernment?
Wow.
All they had to do was what?
Hear.
Oh God. Oh my God. So when that serpent finished with her, what did he do to her?
He confused her.
He confused her. Because the simplicity of hearing ain't with her no more. What is going to be in her now?
Discernment and contemplation.
Oh my God. Doesn't discernment confuses you?
Yeah.
Discernment confuses every woman. Because it's like it swings. I'm through. I really want to sit down. I really do. I
How do you tie the scripture in?
When he says, the newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby?
Mm-hmm.
That scripture discerning both good and evil, and that discernment belongs to those of full age. How would you tie that in?
Sincere milk. What I have travailed with, what has been my labor and travail in New Jerusalem, is getting you to drink the sincere milk that I give you without doing what to it? Mingling it, putting your slant on it. That's been my problem. And you didn't know the damage it did to you was cause your faith to be weak. He that hath an, let him hear what the Spirit said to who? Is that non-personal? So I am ministering by the Holy Ghost to the what? Church. And you are members of the body of Christ, the church. Should you put a slant on it if I'm speaking by the Spirit, or just take me at my word because I'm speaking by the Spirit? Now that's been the travail. Now, how did that come about? How did that spirit? What conclusion would you come to? Anybody want to be radical? What conclusion would you come to concerning your discernment in your senses? What conclusion would you come to?
Not to trust my senses.
She says not to trust her senses. Anybody getting real radical? That's pretty weighty, isn't it? So no matter what I see, don't what?
Trust my senses.
And no matter what I
hear, don't trust my senses.
And my desires, don't trust them. And my appetite, well, we know that's the God of this world, right? So any appetite, we should not trust it. Because it all came when? From the garden. Can I tell you, can I say something? Do you see that that wisdom and that serpent never had any intent of you getting back where? In the garden. And never intended for your soul to come up out of hell. He never intended for your soul to come out of hell. Never. I'm taken by what I have heard in these last few moments. This. And the truth is, we all sit and discern good and evil. That's good, that's evil. You want to hear something sweet? Jesus tell them, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your Father? If you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone or So what confuses me, daughter? What confuses us? What is confusing us? What makes us struggle when the truth is spoken? What's confusing us? You hear it? You hear it? What's confusing us? That every time the Lord says something, who's confusing you? Who? And he'll make you take it out on somebody else, won't he? And you say, no, you're confusing me. But you'll never say it's the serpent in you confusing you. I will walk out of here today with ease, because the light is so bright. And whatever knowledge speaks to me through my eye gate, my ear, my appetite, I would say you are of the serpent. I don't need to discern nothing that the Lord says. God, all I need to do is hear what the Spirit said to the church. He got in that woman because the womb of God died, and he put a seed in her that could not come alive until he died. And when he ate, he died. And the seed of the serpent came alive in the woman, and it got in him. And now what are they going to produce? Wisdom. That everybody now is going to discern right, wrong. And we're going to call the right who? God. And what we're going to call the evil? And we never going to take it all and say none of it is God. Because nitikinio shabas tekaleyosi. Andinio sakoneyasha atekahaleo. Tamalesi niyaka namalasitehio. Oshiniyose. Atekili yasaba stereyosega. Andinimiyo seketiyo sohuya. Andiyasa. Masiki yeneso hosha. Masakatirio sandinimiyo katinimiyasa. Atekali yaso. When John, in the epistles, he's got an audience that's got this problem we're talking about right now. They're discerning. He is saying there is no shadow of turning in him. John is saying that to this audience because they see him shifting. And John is saying that it's not the Lord you see. He don't shift. He don't say one thing and then make you come back and say, well, maybe not him. His word has never come back void. Are you grabbing hold to faith? Are you grabbing hold to faith now? Do you see? Do you feel the power of knowledge? We try to find God in our discernment, and the only God we're going to find in discernment is who? The God of this world. And then we come and hear the word spoken by the Holy Ghost, and we don't hear it because we're too busy hearing the God of this world. So the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. When the spirit speaks, all I need is an ear. I don't need nothing else. Because if I look at what somebody did to me, I ain't going to see it right. Am I?
No.
Wait a minute. Am I? And who's not going to let me see right?
The sinner.
And if I sit down in a conversation, I'm not going to hear right. Am I? Who's not going to let me hear right?
The sinner.
Now, who has made us talk about each other and not see each other the way the Lord sees us?
The serpent.
Now, if the serpent has beguiled us and made us see each other not the way the Lord sees, then how are we going to see ourselves the way the Lord sees us? You will never see your way, yourself, the way God sees you, because you can't see nobody else the way God sees them.
Right.
Now walk by faith and not by sight. You want to call something that be not for your gain. You want to call something that be not for your increase, for your flesh. But you can't speak to me and call that that God made me and call it into existence. Because he called us, Lord
yes.
Jesus. He called us. And he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That call cannot be repented of. For the gifts and callings are without repentance. He's not going to repent that he called you. All my life, all the days I've been in a church, got the Holy Ghost in 79, but grew up in the church. How every day I'm using my senses to discern right and wrong. And I'm trying to take the knowledge of God and mingle it through my senses. And the knowledge of God is not going to go through your senses, or else you would be earthly, sensual, and devilish with the knowledge of God. Our covenant says we should see where? Inside. Right? That's our covenant. Consciousness, inside. Knowing, everything. But the serpent have us looking where? And every conclusion you come to without came from who? Let me hear you. Wait, let me. What are you? Because I'm taken by this. I mean, I'm literally taken by this. I really am. Did you walk around and you think it's okay? Is anybody hearing me besides me? You think it's okay? You think it's okay to see something wrong with someone and speak against it? This scripture, he said, let it rather be healed. That would be the phrase. Let it rather be healed. Now watch, Talia, how I build on what's on the floor. I want you to be able to connect that. And it'll exercise you so that things will connect and he won't be able to confuse you. And when you find it, give them a moment, because I want them to read this. I want you all to read this with them, because this is powerful. I mean, this is powerful.
Hebrews 12, verse 12.
Give them a moment and let them. Live stream listeners, Hebrews 12, verse
12.
Yeah, Hebrews 12, 12. Just give them a moment, because I'm taken. I'm through. hearing what we hear, why you just looking for that? Do you know the power of the knowledge your ears have just heard should shut down your discernment? It should shut it down, and you just automatically hit the place where I'm only going to hear what the Spirit says, nothing else. Amen, amen. Yes, daughter, go ahead.
Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
Now, I'm going to work that in what we're talking about. Watch how I build on what we've said. Do you know the impartation? It says, when I'm in you, you will do this. You believe the mantle that Elijah had fell on Elisha, and he got a double portion? Yeah. You believe that Jesus dropped the mantle on the apostles, and they did the same thing? Who do you want in you? Concerning your salvation and your soul. Because didn't Jesus pray in the garden, I in them, they in me, that we may all be what? One in him. You can't stay outside. You're going to die. Because your soul cannot survive outside. That serpent got us so separated from one another and got us calling it God. And then he tells us we're not going to die. And so much so, people preach they didn't die. I hope they ain't still preaching it. I just ain't been in that circle in a long time. I hope people aren't still saying Adam and the woman didn't die. I hope they not. Because they were naked. The glory is gone. Christ is gone. Christ died. Now let's work this. I'm going to build this. Watch this. I'm going to build on what we're talking about. I'm going to tie this real tight. Listen, because this impartation comes by laying on of hands. It can also come by you hearing. Go ahead.
Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down.
Now, lift up the hands which what?
Hang down.
What would the discernment of the serpent say? What would the discernment of the serpent say to hands that are hanging down? I did say that right, didn't I? What would the serpent say? Because evidently, if the hands are hanging down, they're not performing the work of God. And whatsoever you put your hands to, is that written? So the serpent got your hands what? Hanging down, and they're not prospering because he's got you discerning. Go ahead.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees.
The knees. They're feeble. You have no strength in your knees. I think Paul says that he bowed his knee unto the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I bow my knees unto. Feeble knees means you are bowing your knees to another. Who do you bow to? Feeble, weak. And that serpent makes you discerned, and you not see how feeble your knees are. Because you bow down to him and won't stand for the Lord. Yes, did you?
Ephesians 3, verse 14.
Give him a minute right there. Ephesians 3, 14. We're building. You see how it's connecting? We're building. We're building now. Ephesians 3, 14 now. Go ahead.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Oh my God, I love that. You remember when I start talking about the family of God? And the family of God, how great it is? And there's no other family like it? That's where I was quoting from. No family born in sin, shaped in iniquity, will ever be exalted above God's family. Never. Never. Our families are supposed to come under the family of God, and our family is supposed to be a partaker of the family of God, like we as members of the body of Christ are partakers of the body of Christ. That's the truth. That's the truth. Any family exalted above the family of God is going to fall. It's just a matter of time. Read that and listen how beautiful that is again.
Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now he's bowing his knees, whereas she read in Hebrews. Can you parallel those? Listen. Hebrews 12:12, she was reading.
Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees.
Your knees, you can't stand. You just bow down to anything. Anything take you. Your knees are weak. You yield to the flesh so easy, your knees are weak. You don't have no strength. What did he say in Hebrews to do to those feeble knees?
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees.
Your knees should be strengthened. How are they strengthened? Give me Ephesians now.
Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Look who he's bowing his knees to. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hanias Tenioso. 10 lepers got healed. Who bowed their knees? What was wrong with the knees of the nine? You would. Oh. Who would call somebody that's got it going on? Who would tell somebody like that you got feeble knees? We wouldn't tell them their knees are feeble, would we? Because they're looking too good for their knees to be feeble. Because who taught us to do it that way? Who? So he beguiles us and deceives us. And when we see feeble knees, we don't call them feeble knees. We chase it because we think they got strong knees. And those knees are not bowing to who? Because that serpent has put something in us to make us see it his way. And until the gospel is preached, we never going to see it no other way. Because we can't deliver ourselves from him. I need to say that again. We cannot deliver ourselves from that curse. And he robs us and makes us see the good of the curse. And we call it God. It's a curse. Feeble knees? My knees feeble? Yeah, you got feeble knees when you can't serve the Lord. Your knees are feeble. Your knees are weak. 9 lepers got weak knees. Only one got strong knees. Because he bowed them to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of knees do you have? I don't know. Anybody's knees bother them? This might be your healing moment. You better tell somebody it comes down. You better tell them it comes down. Tell them it comes down. Say, I feel it coming down right now. All down to my knees. Oh, I feel the glory of God in here right about now. I feel the glory of God. That serpent got me bowing my knees to something that don't look like God.
Jesus.
And I'm wondering why it's affecting my knees.
Jesus. My Lord.
It's got to come down. It don't start down, it's got to come down. I think it just fell down. Anybody want to agree with me? I'm going to let y'all just go. Yeah. Look, y'all better exercise those knees right now. I'm going to give you a moment. After this so long, you might want to exercise them. Put your hands on them and say, let me lift up my hands on my knees right now. Because I'm about my knees to the Lord. I've always believed it was connected. I believe every member in your body is connected to some spiritual entity. That nothing in your body is disconnected from some spirit. You just never had enough knowledge to understand the damage that was done. Nothing goes on in your body unless some spirit is occupying it. And we done got too comfortable living with something God never intended for us to live with. And we only ask him to deliver from something we don't think we can live with. You need to start asking him to deliver you from that you think you can live with. After a while, you come to the conclusion, if it don't look like him, I can't live with it. Ephesians. Hey. Ephesians. Yes.
Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Of whom the whole family, where? In heaven and where? Is named. Read that little whole little portion again, because I want you to hear this, because I taught you this. Because I understand something about God's family. Do it again.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Listen, he doesn't have one name for the heavenly family and another one for the earthly family. He's got the family in heaven and the family in earth with the same name. Because they both testify to his work. Paul is bowing his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get on your knees when you pray? Used to. No. Used to. You know what's interesting about bowing your knees? He is actually bowing his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This man is suffering. He's going to beat 5 times 40, save one. Shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead. Who is he bowing his knee to? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of God is named in heaven and in earth. So I guess the 24 elders and all those she read last night, is that a part of the family of God? So we're all one family. One blood creates one family. Come on now. One blood creates one family. This is the family of our very soul. Because we become the glorious church. Because we are the family of God. Our soul is more precious than silver and gold. Our soul can wear the glory of God. It's immortal. I honestly don't believe I have to leave this world in existence for the curse not to touch me. The 91st song told me I could see it and it would not do what? Anybody want to hear the gospel? He said, only with your eyes shall you see it and behold the reward of the wicked, but it shall not come. Read that. You finished that? I'm going to let you finish that. Go ahead.
For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
That was good. You got to tell me that was good enough.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
That's the strength that I have been feeling for a while. I pray and this strength comes. And what is so interesting about it Your flesh wants it. Your flesh wants to take the strength and relive your youth again. That's not why He gives it to you the second time. He gives it to you the second time for Him, not for you to repeat. And the flesh comes to summons to try to take it because it lusts after that strength. Do you know the God of this world lusts after everything that God gave us and don't ever want us to see it, walk in it, or be it? He hates. Okay, Pastor, let me do it like you do. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou hast visited him? He was made a little lower than the angels. And what he said to a man, he never said to an angel. Do you know your posture in God is greater than angels? And then he turned around and sent the angels to minister unto you as heirs of salvation. Do you know when I minister, I hear the angels talking, ministering to you as an heir of salvation? That's how you know you're heir of salvation, because of what you're hearing. That's how you should have company. No, I'm an heir. Because you don't hear this and not be an heir of salvation, which means that that's the salvation of your soul. Go back to Hebrews. I'm good. I'm good. Yes.
Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet.
Look, make straight paths for your feet. Whose responsibility is that? Is that yours? Don't let your vessel make crooked paths. Your vessel should be in alignment with the Spirit in you. Don't let the flesh take your vessel and you leave the Spirit naked. Clothe the Spirit with your earthen vessel and put ye on the Lord and wear Him. Connect everything in you so you can understand the power of oneness. Go ahead.
And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way.
That's what I want you to hear. Now, what did that serpent do to them in that garden? Turned them out of the way and gave them a path that was no path. So when you yield to your flesh, you try to walk a path that is not a path. Now, what is the suffering? Tell me the suffering, daughter.
And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way.
So nothing lame can be healed when you not making straight paths for your feet. You want your shadow to heal, folks, huh? Well, make straight paths for your own feet. Then nothing lame can be turned out of the way. So all this lameness that we're dealing with, all this that we are suffering, why are we suffering this lameness? Because you won't make straight paths for your feet. So our suffering is coming from our responsibility and accountability that we won't walk circumspect. We won't walk by the Spirit of God. We won't let the Spirit of God take our vessel and walk. I think Jesus is about to get up out of the grave. But Apostle, he already got up. He just ain't got up in you yet. I'll tell you something simple about the resurrection. You want to hear it? I will tell you something real simple about the resurrection. The simplicity of the resurrection is this. That for 3.5 years, everything Jesus did, his body was involved. Everything he did, his body was involved with everything he did. And every word he spoke, his body was obedient to it. He made it subject to everything he said. That's the secret to resurrection. How many times do we move our body from the situation because we don't want to deal with it? You don't never know Jesus. Paul and Silas refuse to move their body from what they're dealing with. And they are actually suffering with lashes on their back. We can't stand for nobody to talk about us. And we'll separate our body. We'll take our body away from the church. Do you know that that means you become mystical and you're going to die without a body? Do you know that's why the church don't deal with Jesus? Because Jesus made his body obedient to what he believed. We won't make our body obey what we believe because we can separate our body in a minute. No. Show me in the scriptures where anybody that God called separated their body from what they were called to do. Not a one. That's why we don't understand resurrection. We want a resurrection out of our knowledge without our body being a partaker. Did the Hebrew boy's body go in the furnace? Why? And they said, well, Lord, I believe you, I love you, but I'm gonna make my body deny you right now. I ain't going in the furnace. See, you don't put blood in it until your body get in it. Who do you give your body to? Who do you give your members to? What did he say? Put some weight on it tonight. Whoever you give your body to, that's whose servant you are. What's wrong with the church? We won't make our body obey what we believe. And we're bold to say, I'm a believer. No, you're not. Faith without works is dead. The devils believe and tremble, but they don't have a body to manifest what they believe. Why are we devils? We don't give our body to what we believe. He said, make straight path for your feet. That's the feet of your vessel. Make the feet of your vessel obey the path that the Lord has you on. And if you have to go through it, don't sit and fuss and complain. Pray that he strengthen you, that your feet be made straight and your body obey. Pray. Lord Jesus, pray. Don't let that serpent confuse you and make you complain. You know God didn't intend for me to go through this. Well, did he intend for Paul and Silas to get beaten? Did he intend for Stephen's to be stoned? Did he intend for them to be thrown in lions? Did he intend for any of that? And yet you gotta excuse yourself out of something and you want to see the glory of God. Well, the fire in the furnace didn't burn them because they were in the furnace. The lion didn't get him because he was in the den. You ain't gonna get no glory till you get in it. And count it joy when you get in it. After a while you get to the place, I ain't going nowhere. After a while you start saying, I ain't running just because the ship is rocking.
Look out.
At some point I'm going to stay in the boat until the ship break up.
Yes, sir.
Where you going? I'm going to stay in the boat till the ship break up. And then if I see a board in case someone use that, but I ain't getting out.
Uh-oh.
That's what that serpent told you. You ain't going to surely die. This life is so easy. I will tell you a secret. You want to hear it? Trust me. We can't change anybody. Can you live with that? No. The promises of God are to you. But we can't change anybody. Now, if you live off those words, you're going to have some joy like I got. It's the enemy confusing you. Because he wants you to believe you can change somebody. He's confusing you. And use some discernment trying to confuse you. He's sensual and he's devil want to confuse you. And make you try to change somebody or make a decision because somebody won't change. Well, my change ain't got nothing to do with your decision. My change come from the Lord. I feel like running now. I'm messed up now. I had to get that one out. My change came from the Lord. And all these other things that look like changes don't have no effect on the change. Come what may, be still. Stand on the rock. Let the storm come and see what rock you're standing on. Let the serpent try to make you use your senses to discern. Say, after you finish, I'm not trusting any of them. It's a shame to tell the devil he's a liar and then turn around and listen to him. You know, I know it was the devil, but no, you don't know it's him. You just trying to be nice. Just going to say, nah. You can't know it's the devil and still hear him. Now, come on now. I'm taking by tonight. Anybody want to say anything? I'm taking by it. You hear that? Make straight path so that its lame can be healed, right? Listen to that, because this is knowledge. Knowledge is power. Now, this alone will bring miracles in your life. Listen to this. Say it again.
Hebrews 12, verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
Now listen, Peter has a straight path for his feet. So much so, they laid folk out by this man. And everything lame get healed because he's got a straight path for his feet. That's power. There is a way that the Lord is doing it in this hour, but it's not the way the enemy is talking to us. He's going to perform it, but you got to hear me. It's not the way we've seen in time past. This excellent knowledge is going to bring miracles in your life. We got to purge out the old that we might be a new lump. He told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They didn't know what he was talking about. He was talking about that knowledge in them. There's some churchy knowledge in us that need to come out of us. And then what's in the way can be healed. The reason it's not being healed, you need to ask yourself, okay, Lord, it's some knowledge in me that ain't purged. It's some leaven in me. You ever heard of unleavened bread? When was it? When did they have it? Passover. The Passover. And what was the Passover about? Passover. What's the Passover about? What happened during the Passover? Anybody? Everybody. Somebody. They had to eat it with what? Unleavened bread. Which means that the bread couldn't do what? Do you rise when you're persecuted? Why are you eating leavened bread when you are tried? You have no business rising. Because when he paid the price, it was with unleavened bread, and he didn't rise up. Even on the cross, he didn't rise up. Why in your trials you eat leavened bread, and I've been preaching the unleavened bread? Straight paths for your feet. I guess Stephen must have had a lot of unleavened bread in him, didn't he? What did Stephen say? He looked up and who did he see? The Lord standing, and what did he say? Forgive him. Peter crucified upside down. He must have had some unleavened bread in him. What did he say? Forgive him. Jesus said what? He must have had unleavened bread. And when you are persecuted, what do you say? Don't y'all get quiet. You're not allowed to eat leavened bread. During the Passover, it was not allowed. This is so good. We good. Did you finish that? Put your hands together. Come on, that was so good.